Hi, I'm Raelle Bell, and you're listening to That's Brilliant, a podcast by the American Lighting Association. Today, in honor of Women's History Month, which was, after doing a little bit of research, I figured out, was created to honor the contributions to American history of women over the years. And I decided that it would be a wonderful idea to have two incredible women on our podcast today who are very involved, and one of them responsible for helping to start the Women in Lighting Committee for ALA, which has had an amazing impact and contribution on the lighting industry. So I'd like to welcome Laura Van Zyl and Karen Hayes. So Laura is the Vice President for Audience Development and Lighting for DMC, and Karen is Director of Showroom Sales for Hinckley. And right now you both serve on the Women in Lighting Committee. So to backtrack a little bit, I think about 5.5, 6 years now, Laura, can you give us some background on how Women in Lighting started? Because you are one of the co-founders of the committee.
That's right. American Lighting Association had a conference in Vancouver in 2017 that included for the first time a reception for, I think it was women in the industry, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Women in Lighting yet. Kind of a special networking opportunity akin to the young executives receptions that happen at conference. And it was very well attended. And during the course of the event, Kelly Hollenbach Hammond took a microphone and welcomed everybody to the event and started talking about all of our plans as women in the industry, mentorship opportunities, other networking opportunities that we were going to have, and awards, and all these things that she was just like rattling off the cuff. People were very excited about hearing about this. I'm not sure what ALA was originally planning for the group, but very quickly it became apparent that there was appetite for a full-fledged committee to focus on these opportunities to elevate women in the industry and give them a platform. So by the following year, there was a committee. Kelly and I co-chaired it, and Karen's been serving on it as well. We've had a lot of wonderful female leaders from the industry at the helm guiding us.
Yes, I remember that very well when Kelly stood up, and I just remember being so impressed, and especially afterwards when I learned that was really just off the top of her head. She didn't come with a pre-prepared speech or even bullet points. It was amazing. And since then, it's been really cool to watch it grow and become this amazing force in the industry. So as you said, the first event was a networking event in Vancouver, and that's still a key aspect of women in lighting. So why do you think networking opportunities are so important? And do you feel like they're especially important for women in lighting?
Networks important for anybody in the industry or anybody in any industry. And I think giving an opportunity for women in particular to have, I want to say, a safe space, like it's not comfortable for women to be in other networking situations, but I think there's an ease to it when it's a group of other women. And I think the visibility of seeing other women in various roles in the industry also sends a message of the opportunities and resources that are in the industry among the women that have various roles at various companies. Karen, do you have anything to add to that?
I do. And it's a great lead in to how the mentorship program started. It began right at that first meeting, because that is exactly what happened at the conference. We started to talk, network. It's interesting. Our three mottos is mentorship, leadership, and networking. So we connected there. We use that word a lot. And so that was just a natural evolution to go ahead and get this committee going into the whole mentorship program. And again, we can dive into that. It really did start as a one-on-one conversation between people, and then just who's interested and who wants to match up and marry up. And that was something I took the lead in the beginning, but try to right fit size everyone together that had the same type of company background. We wanted to have a mix with manufacturing and showrooms and sales reps, that type of thing, to make sure that we were capturing everyone and mentoring them with the people that they had a like commonality with. So that was interesting in the beginning. And so we had a good 2 to 3 years on that, but that's how it all started. It's that fundamental, that simple. And then it just grew from there.
Yeah. So people that might not be as familiar with the mentorship program, like you were saying, it started initially as a one-on-one pairing. And then this past January is when you all announced that it's changing. So what was the catalyst behind that? And what does that look like now if it's not one-on-one?
Yeah, the first three or four mentorship programs that we rolled out, we did have a lot of success. So out of about 60 to 80 people that were participating in the beginning, we had some, I'd say, good 70% success rate with the pairings and what they got out of it, the sharing of ideas and connecting. It grew where some didn't. So we thought, why don't we just expand this to a group initiative? That way we have a little bit more exposure. We have a wider net casting. Right now we set it up where we have a group facilitator. We've got groups of 10. And the other key thing that worked for us is breaking it up into the different regions in the country with the Central, the Pacific, the East, because the time zone became an issue. That was a huge issue and challenge with everybody trying to connect. So we said, okay, we'll break it out into the regions. Let's do the group. We've got 10 people in each group. And even if you have a call once a month for that hour, if you only can make that call once every other month or something, you're still going to have 6 to 8 people probably on every call. So you're going to be able to have an opportunity to share everything you want to share with the majority of the group every single time you're meeting versus I can't make it, I'm skipping it. It was a better way to make sure everyone had a chance to connect and share their ideas.
Yeah, these groups have started meeting already, and our group is meeting next week. It's lasting through November, so it's a larger group with a longer time horizon of bringing them together. Our previous mentoring pairings, because we didn't want to get in our own way of having it be too perfect, like as much as Karen mentioned, we made effort to align the needs of the people. We also recognize, okay, if this is not a fit, let's shuffle the deck and change the pairings. Initially, we did it quarterly, then we went to 3 times a year. With these groups, it's really keeping the group together for mentorship and networking for really the whole year, well, through November, and they're already underway.
Yeah, and the other new thing we did this year is we actually, in the registration process, we asked them what they want. So we asked them to solicit some ideas of things that they would like to share with the group and get some answers for. And there are things like career advancement and public speaking. How do you find good HR talent out there? Personal brand, professional challenges you might be facing, work-life balance, all kinds of really neat topics came up. So we're aligned in the subject matters that we'll be talking about. But again, if anything new comes up in the group, we're going to share it with everybody and all the other groups. So it's just going to be a great platform for all of us to network and get out anything we need to get out and share. So I'm excited. My group's starting next week, so I'm very excited as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was going to say, you touched on it, Laura, that sometimes a mentorship, there's not always the best fit. Maybe you might pair up with someone and maybe it's just not for any particular reason, but it just doesn't flow or work into a long-term relationship of mentoring. And this sounds like the other thing I like about it is you could meet all these different people and some natural kind of one-on-one pairings could form out of that, which is very cool.
Absolutely.
I'm just continually impressed with the Women in Lighting Committee, all of the volunteers. You guys are always thinking of new things and innovating, and it's so fun to see. Do you guys have any advice for someone who is newer to the industry, how they get their foot in the door?
Absolutely. My advice would be to just join ALA first and foremost. That is the platform that is the gateway to everything that we were talking about here today. It's important to join that just to get on a committee to start with would be a great place to start. That's how many of the folks in the group today on the committee and the subcommittees happened. They started as a subcommittee and then they grew into a committee chair or a lead. There's so much opportunity, but first and foremost, it's absolutely joining a membership for ALA or at least contacting any one of us to go ahead and figure out how to do that and where you would best fit on any of these committees.
And ALA has such a wealth of educational opportunities, both in person and online. So it's a great way for somebody newer in the industry to get a quick tutorial on what they need to know to understand both technically and other aspects of lighting and even go for an actual certification with the Residential Lighting Training Course.
Absolutely. So one of the other aspects of Women in Lighting is the recognition side. So you are recognizing women in lighting in a lot of ways, but one of them specifically is the Women in Lighting Leadership Award. So can you tell me a little bit about how that was started?
Yeah, that was really from the beginning too, a way to recognize and elevate and create visibility for women who are doing great things in all facets of the industry. And Obviously, American Lighting Association has some wonderful awards programs and Hall of Fame and other ways that members are recognized. But as a group, as we're trying to get more women involved and engaged with ALA, this is a way to make sure that women are among those honorees at the highest level at ALA.
Yeah, that's very important. And it also creates this knowledge in the industry, because I remember when it first started, I had seen some of the other names that were nominated. And just over the years, I've seen some of the names that have come in for nominations. And it reminds you of the longstanding history that women have in the lighting industry. Because I'll be honest, when I started at ALA 10 years ago, things are very different now. And I think women in lighting has a huge impact on that. But the visibility of the women that are in our industry has grown.
Yeah, and I'll even add to that. It's interesting as you start to get the recommendations and start to get it out there that this is coming up. The names are starting to really come to the surface about who is really involved out there, who has accomplished things, who's doing the philanthropy, who is involved in ALA. These things are out there now that are a component of this leadership, that the expectation is there. So I'm excited to see other women step up in other areas because they know this is out there and they know that there might be a chance. Hey, all these good deeds, I have a chance to actually be a real leader in the industry. And this is a great way for me to make that mark. I think that's just been a great gateway into bringing them up into a better leadership role. I think that's all part of it today, to grow them, encourage them, give them the confidence they need. So that's just another way to recognize them.
Yeah, it's very encouraging because you mentioned the Hall of Fame, which is fantastic. But if you look at that and you go through all of the pictures, it's a lot of men that pop up on there. There are women as well, but it's encouraging to see women being recognized. And I think that leads women to feel like, hey, I have a place to be involved in ALA and the industry and in decision making. And it's fantastic.
I have no doubt that our committee is going to lead to a lot more of that recognition. I think we're building the future Hall of Fame with our group. You already see a change in some of the demographics and dynamics of the Board of Governors, and even more women getting involved, not just with our committee and subcommittees and participating in our events, but it's the gateway drug to get women involved in all the wonderful things that ALA has to offer and aware of those things.
Yeah, as a staff person, it's changed the way we approach a lot of what we do, because you get comfortable, you don't always think about ensuring that there's diversity and inclusion in all of your committees, and we have completely changed that. We've made that a priority in what we're doing. It's part of our strategic plan. It's part of our mission, vision, and values now. I think Women in Lighting had an impact on that decision. So the other aspect that we haven't touched on that is very important to Women in Lighting and involved every year is philanthropy. Why is philanthropy so important to Women in Lighting, and how do you choose the causes that you support? Because it's different every year.
Yeah, it's interesting that our group has gravitated to that from the beginning, with initially having a business attire, clothing, and accessories drive during Lightovation for the Attitudes and Attire. And then we've done these commemorative pins for conference that we've sold to benefit a charity, initially to honor Karen Krieger with the donation to the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance. We now have a subcommittee within our committee focused on philanthropy. So they do the research and make the selections. Last year, Dress for Success, and I'm going to give you a scoop that we haven't announced yet, but our charity for this year is the Tory Burch Foundation, which provides support for women-owned businesses. So we're excited about that as well.
Yeah, and I, even though I'm more involved in the mentorship program, being part of the committee since inception, this part is just intriguing, because the ideas that come out of this about what we can do and how the effect that we can have on all women in general, we have learned just as much from our partners with philanthropy as they have from us to share. So that's such a nice two-way street where we're learning from these folks that we bring in, bringing in Betsy just to speak to the group about being confident in meetings and things like that. It's been really encouraging, and it rounds out everything that we're talking about to support this whole concept of women in lighting. And again, we say women in lighting. We do encourage our men out there to attend our conferences events at ALA and some of the Dallas market events. Even though it's for women, we do encourage men to get involved too, as far as learning and being educating on what kind of value is there out there that we can help you with and offer to you as well. Because they're dealing with women in every aspect of their jobs and their careers. I think the more they get involved with us to learn and understand the group and what we have to offer, the better off they're going to be doing with the relationship of that in their own environments.
Yes, I agree. I definitely, this past year, I've seen more and more men coming to the events. I know at conference, there were a lot of men there. And then in January, there were a lot as well. And that was wonderful to see. I've touched on this a little bit, but I'd like to hear your perspectives. Do you guys feel that the industry has changed over the past 5+ years since Women in Lighting has started?
Absolutely. What isn't changing today? And again, as you're talking about the environment, I touched on it before, everything's changing. The industry's changing. Our showrooms are changing. Manufacturers, reps, everybody in the whole thing. I think this Women in Lighting group has drawn all of these people together. Because we all say it, we all know it's changing out there. We understand the changes that are happening. We're trying to figure out how to handle it. And what do you do to respond to the change? Having this network of everyone to talk it out, having a go-to of what were your experiences? Are you seeing this in the industry? It's a great validation platform for us to say, we're seeing it, are you? And I think that's, it gives people comfort that saying, okay, this is what we have to deal with. And we all have to deal with this within the industry together. Because it is a group effort. So I think the Women in Lighting has exposed the whole platform to help everybody involved to be more connected and understand and move forward with a solution. Laura, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. And ALA has such wonderful roundtable and discussion groups based on type of business. And this is interesting because it's all facets of the industry that are represented and all experience levels bringing women together. So having a forum for all of those perspectives, I think really enhances the information and the benefit that people get out of it.
I think so too. And one thing that I would like to see just from a kind of insider ALA perspective for the committee is there's so much incredible involvement in the Women in Lighting group. And we didn't even touch on all of the subcommittees that exist, which are amazing. And all the things that go into making all of these things work are just incredible, but this gives women the confidence and the platform to get their foot in the door in ALA, which, like we said, has shifted in recent years. When I started, I do think that there's been years where it's been all men on our board, and that's certainly not the case anymore. And so what I would like to see is all of the women that are involved in Women in Lighting and the subcommittees move on to some of the other ALA committees too, because the experience that people are getting by being involved with Women in Lighting for ALA really needs to permeate the other areas of ALA, I think. And so if there's any Women in Lighting that don't feel like they're as involved in ALA, I would love if they would send me a message, rayelle@alalighting.com. You can email me. But I would love if more of the voices are involved in all of the aspects of ALA. And I think that you're creating, by having Women in Lighting, you're creating this pathway for people to do that.
You are spot on. This is absolutely the stepping stone into a bigger picture, bigger influence, bigger ideas, bigger decisions. And again, I keep saying that word confidence. This group gives the confidence to anyone out there. I don't care if man, woman, to take a leadership role. Step up. Have a voice. It's okay. You're in a safe space. I think that's what our group offers, that safe space in the beginning, to feel like you can share and talk about anything. And then you have the confidence to take that leadership role after that. I've seen that personally with this mentor program. That warms my heart just to see these girls, ladies, anyone talk about things and say, now, okay, I can go do that now. I feel confident I can go do that now. So that's a win, most personally and professionally. I know we all feel that way. So hopefully we'll start to see some of that participation more in ALA. We do encourage a lot. They do need to be a member as far as being a part of the Women in Lighting group. And we encourage it every day. It's important that they get involved that way on a bigger picture as well.
Yeah. And it certainly already does exist. I hope that it continues to grow, because you guys have done incredible things, and let's bring that as far as we can. You both have a rich history in the industry. I think at the start of the call, we said you started around the same time and have known each other for a long time. Shifting away a little bit from Women in Lighting, I would just love to hear from your perspective, what trends, evolutions, business developments, things that are going on do you think are going to significantly impact or change the industry over the next 5 years? We talked about the past 5 years. Let's talk about the next 5 years.
I could start with mine. I'm sure we both will have a plethora of things to share, but I'm starting to see things more streamlined approach, narrowing approach on being more specific about who you want to be in your marketplace. Who is your customer? The shotgun approach is now getting too difficult, too hard. Everybody's expanding into too much. We do need to narrow down and really become the expert of something. I'm seeing that in showrooms requesting, more focus. I'm seeing that in reps saying, hey, I've got to get my agency. I've got to narrow my focus down with my agency to cater to all of these channels and product categories and things like that. We do think that they really need to narrow down and focus. The other trend that I'm seeing is customer bases are growing. Designers are becoming more influential in our marketplace for sure. And that's definitely another customer segment that we need to learn and understand and figure out how that's going to integrate into our industry. They are influencers. You got a lot of social media bloggers, things going on out there. There's a lot of players at the seat now and table. The other thing is AI. By God, this is coming on strong and fast. How is AI going to fit in your business model? That's going to affect everyone across all platforms. And that to me would be a nice subject for everyone in ALA to start talking about. I know they brought it up at the last conference. I would continue to focus on that platform to see how that's going to integrate with everyone involved. So it's a lot, it's big, but we got to narrow down and focus.
Yeah, I agree entirely with everything that you said, but also that the AI aspect. And I will say that we have another AI session at conference. And I believe that we're also working on some of our new member forums, which are free and open to all ALA members. They're held over Zoom, but AI is another topic that's being planned for those as well.
Yeah, I agree that emerging technology platforms are going to transform the industry. At the January Light Ovation, we had our Metaverse Lighting Trend House as a way for the industry to explore how virtual reality, augmented reality, and the metaverse as a way for people to congregate in the virtual space, what potential that may have for their businesses. It's still active. People can still go there. At June Light Ovation, we will have an opportunity for people to experience it in an immersive way with the headsets again, if they didn't get a chance to do it in January. The other thing that I think is going to really transform the industry over the next 5 years is a recognition of the non-visual benefits of lighting. We're used to our industry being focused around the decorative or the utilitarian aspects of lighting. And there's so much research coming out now on the importance of exposure to certain light levels and quality of light at different times of day to maintain circadian rhythm for better sleep. And I know ALA has got an initiative, I think it's called Better Light, Better Sleep, will be coming out to address that, really being on the forefront of that so that our industry can take advantage of that opportunity, because that is a whole new level of appeal to customers to have that as a benefit of their products as well.
And that'll tie right into the showrooms. They're going to need to narrow down and be more of the experience center instead of a selection center. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to tap into all of these different platforms to provide that for their customers.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I would say now more than ever, but definitely now we are seeing this kind of weird place where intersection of technology, but also this need for personalization. And like you said, like explaining your brand and being unique in all of this noise, which is a very personal thing, but then also welcoming new technologies and things that we're not used to. It's an exciting time.
I want to make sure people know how to engage with the Women in Lighting group. We have a page within the ALA website that's got a vanity URL, so it's easy to find, called lightingwomen.com. That's where you can sign up for our mentorship programs when they get underway, as well as nominating for our Women in Lighting Leadership Award. We have a Facebook group that you can join to interact with other women and allies in the industry. And that's also where we post what we might have going on. We have an Instagram account and a LinkedIn group as well that you can engage with. A lot of ways to interact with Women in Lighting throughout the year outside of the receptions that we, of course, have during Light Ovation and the annual conference.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always email anyone at ALA as well, or we have our podcast at alalighting.com address, which I receive also. If you have any questions on how to access any of that, we'll put links in the show notes to all of the groups that Laura mentioned, all the platforms. But if you have questions or looking for more information on women in lighting or getting involved in ALA, you can always send me an email or give me a phone call. My number's on our website as well. Thank you both so much. This was a great conversation. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, Ariel. This is a great opportunity to just get this information out there again. Just keep it going. And we appreciate all you do and everyone at ALA. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, y'all. Stay brilliant.